we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome back to Redemption Church. You're all ready for a sermon now. You're ready for the Word of God. Let's do it. Thank you. It's a great day to worship God here in Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt. I serve as lead pastor here, and I greet you in the name of Jesus because word has it, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, you should do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That was our scripture memory verse, all right, of the last month. We are in the third week of our sermon series on the book of Colossians. Today, I want you to get your Bibles out and turn to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to be reading the first 5 verses of this chapter. When I laid out this sermon series, you know, you kind of try to plan ahead and think through things. I really thought I was going to cover a large section of Colossians chapter 2, but I couldn't get past the first 5 verses. God has something for us today, and I want you to give me your entire attention. I want you to open up wide your heart for the Word of God today. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. Verse 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Verse 3. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Moving on, I tell you this, so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. One more time, could we clap our hands for the Word of God around here? Thank you for your Word, Lord. Thank you for it. 5 verses, here's a quick outline. Paul asserts 3 major things here. He asserts his motive, he asserts his intention, and he asserts his goals. Motivation, intention, and goals. Paul wants the Colossian and the Laodicean church to know that he is working hard for them. Did you catch that? It's verse 1. Right there, Colossians 2 and 1. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you. Another word for that is working. But the actual Greek word is actually fighting, wrestling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. Remember, in the first week of this series, we told you that Paul wrote a letter to Colossae, and it was a place that he had never been. He had not met these people personally, but he is hard at work fighting for them. Now skip down to verse 5. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So Paul can't be there in the physical. You agree with that?
Yeah.
But he says that he is present in what?
Spirit.
Present in spirit. The work of God is being done all throughout the world right now. It's being done all throughout the world. And we can't be everywhere in the physical, right?
Right.
Can't be. You can only be at one place at one time. That's just how the physical works. Aren't you glad for that revelation? All right. But Paul declares that he is present in, say it, spirit. Sometimes we might say, you know, I can't be with you. I can't be there, but I'm with you in spirit. We wink at him. We use it as a way of saying, you know, I support what you're doing. I just, you know, I'm just not able to do that. I'm washing my hair that night. Or sometimes we actually say it and we don't really mean it. Right? Sometimes there's that. It's a way of saying, you know what, I'm rooting for you. It's a way of saying I'm absent, but, you know, I don't want you to fail miserably. I hope you do okay. I'm with you in spirit. I'm not rooting for you to fail, but I'm probably not going to be there, and I'm probably can't be there because of a lame reason. Actually, if we're honest, isn't that kind of true? Well, you know, I'm there with you in spirit. There you go, right? Oh man, y'all are doing work at the church. Oh man, that's so cool. I would be there, but I can't. But I'm with you there in spirit, right? Like it just happens, right? You know, oh, you're moving. Oh, praise God for the new apartment. It's cool. Can't be there, but you know what? I'm with you there in spirit. Oh, my spirit muscles are gonna feel so sore afterwards. Right? You follow me. Y'all agree. We kind of do that in our world today. But when Paul says, I am present with you in spirit, I want you to know he goes beyond rooting for them and thinking about them. The word for spirit here is pneuma. Everyone say pneuma. The P is silent. P-N-E-U-M-A. And it is the word translated as God's spirit. It is translated as the Holy Spirit. It is translated as the Spirit of Christ. It is translated as that Spirit that showed up like wind in Acts chapter 2. He didn't just choose some namby word to just throw out an excuse. He said, I am present with you in the only thing that could cause me to be present with you, the supernatural. Because in the natural, I can't be present with you. But when he interjects pneuma, you are no longer operating in the natural. You're operating in the supernatural. God's spirit is supernatural. The spirit that is Christ is supernatural. Natural. Anybody have a supernatural encounter with God? If you have, then you know that all things are possible. Amen. Pneuma. Everyone say pneuma. Paul is declaring that he is hard at work contending for them in pneuma. Contending for them in the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit, Paul is present. In the natural, he is wearing chains and he's in Rome. But through pneuma, in spirit, he is present with them. Through the Spirit, Paul is at work in Colossae. All right. Through the Spirit, Paul is actually affecting the outcome of Laodicea. All right. Now, I give you two choices here. Choice number one is, Paul, you crazy. That's choice number one. No, nobody can do that. No, sorry to tell you, buddy, you are locked in a jail. You aren't anywhere but in that jail cell. You either believe that or you believe, number two, that through Jesus Christ's Spirit, you can be present in the problems of others. Through the Holy Spirit, you can speak to mountains and you aren't even near the mountain, but the mountain can move. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to decide right now which spirit you're talking about and what you believe about it. Are you just like, you know, I'm there in spirit, or am I there in the Holy Spirit, ready to contend, ready to fight for you, ready to have revival for you, even though I don't see you in the jail cell with me. Paul is declaring he is hard at work. So, we have a group of people that Paul has never met, yet in the pneuma, in the spirit, he is hard at work for them. Redemption Church, do you see what I believe to be the obvious parallel for us today? All right, well, I'll preach it to you. We don't see all the people that the Hadabal family are preaching to in Lebanon. They're preaching Jesus. Every once in a while, we see a picture. We heard yesterday that they preached Jesus, and 137 children cried out to Jesus and gave their lives to him. You can clap for that. Praise God. Hadabal family, y'all keep up the good work. Listen, we aren't in Lebanon with them. But you, through the pneuma, through the Spirit of God, you can be present with them. We don't understand all that Pastor Joel Rodriguez is dealing with in Cifuentes, Cuba. You don't understand the heartache he's going through trying to build that building with, like, hammers and chisels and shovels and the grossest concrete. No, Brently trying to build a building with no machinery. He's doing it. We don't know all that he's going through. But through the pneuma, through the Spirit, you can be right there alongside of him, encouraging him and striving him on. Do you believe that?
Amen.
We don't know the congregation of believers in Maikop, Russia, that the Kiesel family is ministering to. But we can be a force in that revival. You can be a hard-working contender for that revival right here in Plano, Texas.
Yes.
Now, you either believe that or you don't. You either believe the Word of God or you don't. And if you do believe this, why on earth would you not make this a part of your life? Why on earth would you just have your life focused on trivial things when you could tap into the power of this pneuma and be a world changer without even leaving the side of your bed where you pray?
Right.
Kathmandu, Nepal, our underground missionaries in East Asia, all kinds of situations that we're ministering to as a church. We can do far more than just give them money. I thank you so much for the offerings you give, and we use every penny to the height of the possibility. But I want to tell you today, Redemption Church, we can do far more than that. We can do more than make sure our dollar bill is present with them. We can be present with them. We are present with them through pneuma. We are present with them through the Spirit. Just like Paul was present from a jail cell, present in the Spirit in Colossae. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Can I tell you, this is why it's important to be in prayer? You know this. You ought to know this. If you don't know, now you know. It is impossible to be in the Spirit if you are not in prayer. You cannot be in the Spirit if you are in your flesh. If you want to be in the Spirit, Church of America, eventually we have to turn off Netflix. If you want to be in the Spirit, eventually you are going to have to get the Bible out and read it and pray over it and make it a part of your life. If you are going to be present, oh my goodness, we're living in a world that wants to complain about all the suffering in the world. You Christians are the ones who could be in it, changing it through the power of God. That's you. Don't you realize that, Christian? My goodness, that's us. Do you believe that when we pray in the Holy Spirit? Now, I am not talking about now I lay me down to sleep kind of prayer. A little memorized little ditty that you learned. God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for this food, amen. No, I'm talking about your heart coming into unity with God and His Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, because you are born again of the Spirit. I'm going to say it again, because you are born again of the Spirit, you have a right to be of the Spirit, to be in the Spirit. It is a part of your DNA now, just like when you're born of your mom and your dad, you got their DNA in you. When you are born of Jesus Christ, you have His DNA inside of you, and He says, all power in heaven and earth is in my hands. It's given to me. That is the Spirit. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, it is not a weak little prayer. My goodness, we need to learn how to pray in the Holy Spirit. And when we pray in the Holy Spirit is present in all of those situations. One of the things I find myself praying all the time for somebody. Somebody comes to me, they bring me a prayer request, and somebody I just don't even know. And I pray like this. Jesus, you are in the room with them right now. It's true. Because Jesus is in the room. Lord, let them feel alive Jesus right there in the room. Let the Spirit of God touch them right where they are. And I'm praying, and I am becoming present in the situation. Do you understand? Redemption, we need to be people of prayer. Can I get an amen on that? We need to be people of prayer. We need to be people who pray in the pneuma, in the Spirit. Everyone say, pray in the Spirit. Now, this is a major teaching in your Bible. You would have to be completely asleep to read through your Bible and not see this pattern show up on praying in the Spirit. Paul constantly talks about prayer in the Spirit. I'm going to give you a few verses that just come from this apostle who wrote Colossians, right? It would be maybe good to take notes on these verses if you have a pen and paper. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Look at this. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now wait, stop. What are those first words that you just, when we read, we just go right past? I keep asking, all right, we'll come back to that, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. He says, I keep asking. In other words, he did not give a one-time prayer. He was continually praying. He continually went to his knees and prayed. I keep asking that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom. What is he going to pray tomorrow? He's going to pray the same thing that God would give them, the spirit of wisdom. He prayed. He kept asking. Some of you, you've been praying. You prayed a few times and it didn't happen. Paul would tell you, keep asking. Keep praying. Keep believing. I keep asking. I keep asking God would give you his best. That's what he's saying. God, give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they may know him better. Oh my, that is something to pray. Some of you have children. Some of you have friends that don't know Jesus. Some of you have children and friends that do know Jesus. Pray for them that they would know him better. That's not a one-time prayer. Well, I prayed that one time, 1985. It was such a good sermon. I prayed for them that day. No, you pray for them every day because you are a person of prayer. And you are present with them, right? Do you understand? He is saying, I want to be right. They're in a situation where they don't understand, where they don't have wisdom, where they need a revelation. And he is standing right in the middle of it saying, I'm asking again, God, bring the revelation, bring the wisdom, let them know you better. He's standing right there in the middle of that. How does he do that? He does it through prayer. Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. We spend so much time praying that God will do stuff like give us a car, like cause our boss to be a nice person. You can pray for those things. It is okay. But here Paul is praying for spiritual transformation to take place in someone's hearts. I need to tell you something. That should be the majority of our prayer time. We need to be praying, God, bring spiritual transformation. You want to talk about your pastor? Put down the gossip phone. Talk to God about your pastor. God, give pastor revelation and give him wisdom so that he can know you better. Every person, you need to pray for this praise team. Lord, give them, every person needs to know him better. And every one of us need our hearts enlightened by him. And we need to keep asking, keep asking, keep asking. Redemption, we need to pray like this. If the majority of your prayers is, God, I want this really cool thing, you are not understanding prayer. You are missing out on the power of prayer, and you are standing in where you are instead of standing where someone else is. You are not present with them in Pneuma. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit sometimes with, you know, certain kind of prayers and situations. And, you know, if you have time, you know, think about every once in a while stuff. And, you know, if you have trouble, you know, if you can, you'll pray for God's people. So what is, that's how we act. Well, let's read it like it really is. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Man, We could talk about that. You know, there are all kinds of prayers. There is praying from this knowledge in your head. There's praying from the Word of God. There is praying in the Spirit. There is praying in a prophetic mode. There is praying in tongues. There is praying in a number of ways, in groanings that we'll read about in a moment. There are a number of ways to pray. Pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. So how often should we pray in the Spirit? All occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests for all the Lord's people. What kinds of occasions? What kinds of prayers and requests? Well, when we hear about a tornado hitting a place like Garland, Texas, or Moore, Oklahoma, that's an occasion covered in prayer. Pray for that situation. Pray for those people. When we see the news break with another school shooting, everybody just stays glued to their television set. Turn the TV set off. Get on your knees and pray. Cover it in prayer. When we hear about injustice, persecution, and the infliction of others, we should pray. Don't go on a tirade, just blasting people on social media. Talk to God about it. Do you know that we're living in a day and age where when a crisis happens, people are ridiculed for saying, "I'm praying"? Yeah. Yes, we are in that day and age. I want to tell you that through the pneuma of God, you can be present in the situation. You can change it. I believe that the Spirit of God can do what our government never can do. I believe that our Spirit of God can save people like no one else can save them. That's what the Spirit of God is. But would you pray? Would you use that weapon? Would you actually take the occasion and pray? Church, we need to. We need to. This week, there's going to be a worldwide calamity. It always happens. I'm not in the prophetic. I'm in the natural. You just know that there's going to be something terrible happen. Everybody's going to be up in arms about it. Pray about it. Do something about it. Don't you ever be ashamed that you are a person of God, born of His Spirit, and born praying in the Holy Ghost. When someone loses their job, be in prayer about it. Don't give them one of these half-hearted, "Man, that's really a bummer," and then just turn away like most people do. Pray with them. There is an intercession that you can be a part of. There is something you can do. You can be present with them in the situation. When someone is in the hospital, how about you go to that hospital if you can, and you lay hands on them, and you pray the prayer of faith. The Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick. Anybody got faith in the house? The prayer of your faith will save the sick. It's the Word of God. And then it says, all the Lord's people. We must focus our prayer on the Lord's people, on the people of the Lord. But you might say, why? Shouldn't we pray for everyone? Oh, yes, you should absolutely pray without ceasing and pray for everyone. But the Lord's people are the ones who have received the calling and empowerment of God to go help everyone. When you are lifting up the hands of the person that's called to heal the situation, that's when you become a part of it. Do you understand that? You are called, you are to focus your prayer on the people of God. That's why when something happens in the world and we're miles from it, we are on the other side of the globe from the tsunami that hits. Here's how we pray. God, lift up your church. Let the church arise. Let the church stand up on its feet and let them go. Let them rip people out of the carnage of that situation. Let them be Christ to those people. Let them feed those people. Lord, we are what? Focusing our prayer on the people of God to go be the answer in the carnage. We should always pray like that. And that's what Paul does. That's what Paul suggests right there. Focus your prayers on those that can help others. And if you are a Christ follower, you can help so many people. Looking on, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the apostle says this: in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Oh my goodness. Man, we could just stop for a moment. Some of you are so worried about your weakness. You would get rid of your weakness if you could. The weakness is the door to the Spirit. My God. When you are weak, His strength is made perfect. Oh man, we're gonna give sister a hand five on that. Who said it? Oh, it was back there. I'll give you a high five later. I thought it was Ann. You're throwing your voice. Long distance. This is like. Oh, you lose your five. It's out. In your weakness, His strength is made perfect, complete, and whole. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. You keep trying to operate from all your strengths. God keeps putting you in situations where you're weak. Why? So His Spirit can help you. I got news for you. You've been feeling weak. Get ready, get ready, get ready. The Spirit wants to help you in your weakness. Pray. You got to pray. You'll never be in the Spirit if you don't spend time in prayer. Moving on. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Have you ever been there? Oh my goodness. If you haven't been there, you have not prayed very much. We do not know what we... How do I even pray? What do I even pray for? But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Who do the groans belong to? Belong to us. They're coming out of us. And the Spirit is flowing through us when we don't know what to say. Wordless groans. From us, minister and intercede for others. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know what to say, so you just like let out a sigh, or you let out a groan, or you were hurting so bad, you were all by yourself, and you just gave the worst crying sounds in the world? I want to tell you, the Spirit speaks that language. The Spirit can intercede through that language. The Spirit can help you in your weakness. Surrender to God in the middle of that weakness, and you will find all the help that you need. And the Spirit intercedes, and it knows how to pray. Prayer is not about saying and thinking nice words. Do you know that? Well, let's see, what would be a really nice thing to say? And God really likes it when we say thee and thou and doest and King James Version English. No, not at all. It's not about saying and thinking nice things. Prayer is about coming into unity with the heartbeat of God. I'm going to say it again because that is a missing piece of knowledge in a lot of people's hearts. Prayer is about coming into unity with the heartbeat of God. When you pray, you come into unity with the heartbeat of God. When you pray in the Spirit knows how to pray when you don't know how to pray. And you come into unity with the Spirit of God, the heartbeat of God. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but through the Spirit, we tune into God's Spirit, even through wordless groans. Sometimes we hurt so much, we don't know what to say. We can't figure it out. We don't know how to express it. But the Spirit can intercede through that weakness and through that groan. Romans 8:27, the very next verse. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Can I tell you, the safest way to pray is in the Spirit, because the Spirit always knows the will of God. I don't always know the will of God. I don't always get it, but the Spirit does. When you don't know how to pray and you start praying in the Spirit, that was the best thing that could have happened anyway. The Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You want to pray in accordance to the will of God? You need to pray in the Spirit. Oh, but that wordless groan stuff is weird. I'll say it again. Do you want to pray in accordance with the will of God? Then you need to pray in the Spirit. Yeah, but that's a little out there, isn't it? Do you want to pray in accordance to the Word of God and to the will of God? Then get over yourself, sweetheart, and pray in the Spirit. You got me? You understand what I'm saying? Romans 8:27 and 26, we just read. Who knows the next verse? Romans 8:28. You might have seen it on a bumper sticker. You might have seen it on a t-shirt. Somebody shout it out. Romans 8:28. There it is. And we know that all things work together. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose, the NIV version right there. We know this verse, right? This is like people love, they like beat on the drum of this verse. The context of this verse is praying in the Spirit. You really want God to work all things together for your good? Pray and pray in the Spirit. There it is. When we pray in the Spirit, it is God who is at work. And we know that God is always working for the good. Moving on, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. This is the words of Paul. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all goodness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. All right, pray for all those in authority. All right, I'll be as bipartisan as I can be. You don't have to like your government, but you do have to pray for your government. You don't have to like your boss. You don't have to like him, but you do have to pray for your boss. You don't have to like your teacher, but you do have to pray for your teacher. Pray for those in authority. Pray that they would allow you to live peacefully and in godliness and in holiness. I remember in the 1990s when we had a president fail in a moral way, and much of the church was like, oh, look at the terribleness of this. But then somebody asked, yeah, but do you pray for that president every day? Yeah, but have you prayed for your rulers? Have you prayed for those in authority? I tell you what, we should spend less time criticizing every one of our people in authority, and we should spend more time praying for them. We need to pray for them. Does Paul say it? Yes, he does. Does he say it's good? Does he say it pleases God our Savior? Then let's do it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. We're moving on. Therefore, I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands. Men, lift up holy hands in this place. Can you lift up your holy hands in this place? Lift them. You can put them down. Thank you. Lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. Paul goes out of his way to talk to men here. I imagine it wasn't a problem in the women, but there was a problem in the men. And he was urging us. He wanted this to happen in the men, and he wasn't seeing it. You don't write this in a letter if you're already seeing it. He urges them to put on an outward display. To put on an outward display by lifting their hands. Instead of displaying anger, instead of displaying argument, display holiness and display a surrender to God. Holy hands lifted up, you know it's holiness and complete surrender to God. Men of Redemption Church, I urge you to put your prayer on display. I urge you to go past, well, it's just a quiet time of talking to God, so I'm going to stand here and just be silent. I urge you to put something on display that lets us know you are laying aside anger. You're laying aside disputing, and you're reaching up to God in holy surrender, men of Redemption Church, I urge you to do it. If Paul were here today, he would urge you to do it. Make up in your minds that you're going to commit to prayer. That's for everyone in the room. Make up in your minds that you're going to commit in prayer. Just as Paul was absent in the physical but present in the spirit, we too should be present in the spirit. Wherever there is a problem, you can be present in the spirit. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Colossians 2:1. We're coming back to this verse. Look at it one more time. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for all those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. Redemption. Christ followers, are we working hard? Are we working hard? Are we contending? Are we fighting? You know, we live in a day and age where about the best churches expect from people is that they show up on Sunday. That's like the church age today. In fact, they've designed all their services just to get people to show up. Please show up. That's what church growth is. Please show up. Not go deeper. Not change the world. That's in the background. That's not even thought of. Are we Christ followers working hard? Are we contending? Are we fighting for the kingdom of our God? Often our heart is moved by the struggles and the injustice we see in the world. And we feel a little goosebump. We cry a little tear. That's awesome. That's great. But how hard are you contending? Is it moving you to a place of prayer? Is it moving you to a place where you would stand in the gap of the situation and be present in the Spirit? In a few moments, I'm going to give us a moment to come together in prayer. And I want you to come today. I really want you to come today. I want you to come and do some hard work today. Would you come contend a little bit? Maybe you don't even know what that is. Well, then just come and say, God, I don't know what that is. Show me what that is. But first, I want to talk to you about Paul's goal. And I'm going to go very quickly, as quick as I can. Paul has incredible goals in verse 2 of Colossians 2. My goal. How do you know it's his goal? Well, he kind of told me. I'm great at interpreting scripture here. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. What is your goal? Paul's goal was first that they would be encouraged in heart and united in love. Now, this really has spoken to me this week. I believe Paul is showing us how he prayed for Colossae. When he says he is contending and working hard, I believe right here he is showing us his goal in prayer. You following me? I want to tell you that I've prayed for you this week, that you'd be encouraged in your heart, united in love. I pray that you would have courage in your heart. Some of you are going through so much. I pray that courage would rise up in you. Boldness would rise up in you. That the fear would never be able to stand up to the strength and to the love of God. That the bravery on the inside of you would flow out. And then I pray also for you that you'd let nothing divide you. That the love of God would unite your family. Unite you. That you would be united in love, completely unified in love. I want to tell you that you don't have someone in your life that doesn't need you to pray encouragement in their hearts and unity in love. Every husband, pray for your wife that she would be courageous in her heart and that you would be always united in love with her. Wives, do the same. Pray for your children. You ought to pray for every person that you go to work with, every person in your church. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for every person you see. Pray, because there is a battle they're fighting. And what the Apostle Paul was praying for Colossae is they're fighting these battles. Lord, pray, God, that their heart would be strong and encouraged and their love completely unified. Then Paul says these curious words. He says, so that, united in love, so that you receive this encouragement and unity so that you can receive what is next. Here is what is next. Verse 2, looking back at it. So that you may have the full riches of complete understanding. The full riches of complete understanding. We sometimes jump in prayer to full riches. Give us full riches, Lord. Give us blessing. God gives blessing. Pray for it. It's good. We just pray for understanding. We sometimes jump to those things. It is encouraged hearts and unity and love that bring us to riches and understanding. Right here, he's got like a process praying for their hearts and their love so that they can receive the full riches and the understanding. Paul's goal was that they would receive encouragement in heart and unity in love so that they could receive more. And this is a real problem in our prayer life. We want to just get right to the end. Just fix that problem. Like when you call the plumber, you just want him to fix the problem. Like we treat God like the plumber. Just get out here and fix it. I don't need to know how it works. Right? God wants to do this in you so that he can do this in you, so that he can do this in you, so that he can do this. You see, his end game doesn't end. It keeps going. He wants to do this in you so that he can do this in you. You need to have a so that in your prayer. Lord, do this for them. Like somebody comes to you with an urgent need. I need money. All right. God, supply their needs. Supply their needs. Supply their needs, God, so that they can see that they are loved by you. So that they can see that they have never had a problem you can't handle. So that they can then be a blessing to someone else. So that their faith would be encouraged. So that they would... You need a so that. We don't treat our prayer life like that. God, just, we need the money. We'll call you when we need more money. We need a so that. I want to tell you, I'm praying that God would fill you with His Spirit so that you could go to work and give hope to other people, so that you could be a missionary in your community, so that you could change the world, so that you could love your wife like you've always supposed to. Lord, so that you can forgive that person that hurt you. I'm praying that you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit so that. You need a so that in your prayer. You need a so that because God has more. God has this problem He's going to solve so that He can do the next thing. Full riches, complete understanding. I prayed that you would have that this week. But then there is more. So that then they may know, verse 2, the mystery of God. Namely, who? Christ. Verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We got encouraged in heart, unified in love, full riches, complete understanding, so that then they may know Christ and all His wisdom and knowledge. Christ and all His wisdom and knowledge. You see, there is a process that needs to take place in our lives. It shows us a way to pray brothers and sisters through this process. Obviously, if someone doesn't know Jesus, we add that to part of this process. But Colossae, this letter to the Colossians, this is written to people that already know Jesus. I'm talking to you, and He's talking to you today, that there is a process to pray for you. Lord, let them receive this, so that then they can receive this. And so then, Lord, they could receive this from you. But if you pray like that, you'll never stop praying. Exactly. You'll never stop being involved. You'll never stop doing powerful things in prayer, because prayer never, ever should end. You should pray without ceasing. Lord, let them go deeper. Let them be brave enough to take the next step. Lord, in the end, let them know you, and let them know your knowledge. Let them know your wisdom. Lord, let them receive the deeper things of you. You see, there is this, then this final process here is when they know Christ and everything he wants to reveal. We're talking mysteries here. We're talking the deep things of God. We're talking more than, should I get a blue or a red Honda Civic? We're talking deeper than that. We're talking the things that the Spirit would speak. We're talking the things that the Spirit would reveal. Do we even operate in that part of prayer anymore today? The Apostle Paul operated there. We need to operate there. I pray that God's Spirit would speak in you, that he would reveal things. I pray that God would reveal things about me to you, so that you could edify me. You see that process? It's a process. Paul's goal for us today is to process us toward Christ. Where are you in that process? Do you need encouragement? Do you need love? Why don't you come? Do you need a blessing? Do you need understanding? Why don't you come? Do you need Christ today? Come receive. Come pray in the Spirit today. Be present in prayer. These altars are open. If you know what to do, why don't you go ahead and come? If you want special prayer in the first 2 feet, I want to come pray with you today. If you come in the first 2 feet, we'll pray with you. We're going to pray in the Spirit, and we're going to see God do powerful things. If you don't want someone to bother you, just don't come in the first 2 feet. I pray for everybody under the sound of my voice, watching online or in the room right now. Father, I pray for them that they would receive encouragement in their hearts. God, they are fighting something that is so much bigger and stronger, but in their weakness, they receive the help of the Spirit. Spirit, you're in the room with them right now. Let them sense your presence. Let them sense the love of Jesus, God. Lord, I pray for their marriage and their relationships. I pray for their friendships, Lord, that you would unify them in the love of Jesus. Love covers a multitude of sins. I speak right now that the person that's done you wrong, love can cover their sin. Let it cover them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would have that rich understanding, that they would have the richness of your provision, God, and that above all things, that they would have Jesus Christ revealing to them the treasure of his wisdom and his knowledge, the things that are deep in his Spirit, God. Do that in us. Father, I want your Spirit to be resident in your church, in the body. I want you to speak through this body by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, minister to us, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to us right now in Jesus' name. Lord, help us to contend. Help us to work hard. Help us to be present, God. Father, I pray for my cop, Russia, right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for Cifuentes, Cuba, right now. Lord, I pray for that area in Asia. Lord, I pray for all those things. God, be present in them. Lift up the people of God so that they could do mighty works in your name, Jesus. Lord, be with my friends, Lord, in the secret, hidden areas of their life, Father, right now. Be present, God. Fight their battles. Give them victory, Father, in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. Let's talk to him. Let's be present, God. Let's be present with him in this moment, in the name of Jesus. I want to talk to some people in this house. I want to pray with some people in this house. I want to, in Jesus' name, in Jesus'
name. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.